Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
And as always, Michael Wilbon brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big!
I'm told this is going to be a treat. Michael, I say Tom Brady, and Bears, you say what?
I say, are you drinking on the job?
We always drink on the job.
Yeah, why not?
That's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Why?
Because Tom Brady's done. And he's not necessarily done as a New England Patriot unless they don't want him. But he's because it's Joe Namath, because it's John Unitas. I'll give you one closer to home. It's Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr was certainly the greatest defenseman of all time, probably one of the five greatest players of all time. He played 10 Hall of Fame seasons and the greatest seasons anybody's ever seen in Boston. Then he comes to Chicago and plays with the Blackhawks in his, I don't know, he missed the whole season, I think, but he played 26 games, I think, and scored like 6 goals. And it wasn't a disaster. It was the end. It was over. And so wherever Tom Brady goes, if it's not New England, wherever he goes, I want you to listen to me. He's going to be sacked 14 times in the first 2 games, and that's going to be it. And so this notion that Tom Brady is going to come and beat Tom Brady, I mean, it's way worse. I would settle. I would be okay with Michael Jordan in a Wizards uniform because he played all 82 games and was a 2-time All-Star, I believe. Tom Brady is not going to play effectively for anybody else. He's either going to play for the Patriots or it's going to be a ceremonial goodbye anywhere else, and that includes the Bears.
Well, isn't it worth a try, though, when Mitch Trubisky is currently the solution?
No. It's not worth a try because you're wasting resources, the most notable of which is time. I mean, get better at this. And if this coach doesn't want to get better at coaching this guy, then get him out of here. Coach this guy. Coach Trubisky. Coach him. Belichick wasn't always trying to coach somebody else. He coached the people he had in front of him, one of who was a 6th-rounder that nobody traded up to get. Or was Brady a 4th-rounder? Whatever.
Said no, he was 6th-rounder.
I mean, so, no. Coach this guy. Do your job. If you told me you could get Belichick, I'd be happy. Brady, no. Not at this point. It's over.
Do you think he's going back to New England? Or
I
do you
have
think
no
he's
idea.
Returned?
I'm not going to try to pretend I have any idea. I don't talk to anybody at that level, at that National Football League team. I have no idea. But I'm going to say this. If he goes somewhere else, it will be the result of Joe Namath or John Unitas or Bobby Orr. It's not going to work. It's over. If he goes someplace, you're talking about people forget, and they say, well, this year he didn't have any weapons. Okay, he didn't have any weapons. He's still surrounded by one of the supreme organizations in the modern history of sport. And so to go somewhere else, he's not going to have that.
Well, that's why
he's
not
going to have familiarity. He's not going to have any of that.
That's why I have, you know, my opinion, which is worth whatever, is that if he does come back, he goes back to New England because it gives him the best chance to win a title.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you would think at this point, at the age of 43, having made all the money you want, despite wanting to be loved, if it's just a hug he needs from Bill Belichick, then Belichick needs to hug him and they need to find common ground. Because I think him and Belichick need each other more at this moment than they have in the past.
I would agree with that because Belichick doesn't have a suitable alternative.
Exactly.
He doesn't have a championship-level alternative. And so I'm not sure Belichick's capable of giving him a hug. I mean, I had a list. I don't have it in front of me. I had a list the other day in which I just went through and got the players that Belichick had gotten rid of early. I mean, he has a
Everybody.
Long list, including Vrabel, by the way.
Oh, and Richard Seymour.
Traded Vrabel to Kansas City, and Vrabel apparently was not happy with that and doesn't get along all that well with all the Patriots now, with the Patriots organization, if you will. So I don't know if Belichick is going to give Tom Brady or anybody else a hug. But the notion that he's going to go somewhere else and be Tom Brady is absurd.
Well, now look, Mike. Gronk retires. Josh Gordon leaves. They get rid of him. AB is signed and then leaves after one game. He still throws for over 4,000 yards, which a Bear quarterback has never done. And he still had a touchdown to interception ratio of 3-1. And he played all 16 games.
For
he
who?
Made the playoffs. And you say
for
he's
who?
Done.
Who do you play with?
Well,
who do you play for?
But I know that. But
these aren't incidental. There's no but.
But would Belichick be himself
no
if there was no Brady? I think that is the but.
Belichick. My contention, Sylvie, is that I'll take Belichick over Brady. That Belichick would have found and coached up whoever he needed to. Whoever he needed to.
Do you think Drew Bledsoe would have won him the Super Bowl if he never got hurt?
They had a shot. They were in position. I don't know, but he had a shot. Let's not make it seem like Tom Brady was Joe Montana coming out of college, because he wasn't.
Well, not out of college, but Joe Montana wasn't Joe Montana.
Knew because Belichick got him out of college.
I think this is what I said earlier, Mike. I think, and I stand by what I said earlier about how I think that Bill Belichick, even a 42 or 43-year-old Tom Brady, and I think it's something you were mentioning as well, he needs Brady now more than ever. Because like a few years ago, I think Belichick would have walked away from Brady if, in fact, they hadn't traded Jimmy Garoppolo, because he believed Garoppolo was the next best thing.
I agree.
Unless he believes Jared Stidham from Auburn is the second coming of Jimmy Garoppolo, he doesn't have Jimmy G waiting in the wings.
No, and he doesn't have time. I mean, Belichick, what is Belichick? We should look him up. 67?
67 I mean, or 68, I think.
Belichick can do this 4 or 5 more years. He can do it as long as they, you know, I guess he wants to do it. But he needs Tom Brady right now, but he needs Tom Brady more than he ever has. Tommy, I agree with you wholesale on that. Brady still needs Belichick more. Because where's Brady going to go and get what he's got in New England? Where's he going to get that kind of support? Where's he going to get that kind of buy-in? Where's he going to get that kind of support from upper-level management? His owner, first of all, it's interesting to me. Suppose Belichick doesn't want him, but Robert Kraft does. What happens then? Who goes?
It's a good question. I mean, ultimately, the owner, I would think, would have final say unless
he just says, okay, Brady's going to be 43 and it's over. I mean, you know, look, he knows exactly what he's got in Brady every snap of every quarter of every game. He knows what he's got. He knows what Brady can't do at this point. Nobody else is going to know that. And I heard this boy, suppose he goes to the Titans. I'm like, stop. People, stop. You know, you don't have these, you know, I realize that Peyton Manning went somewhere else when he had a lot more left in him.
Remember, he was coming off of four neck surgeries, and he could barely throw at the time. People said he was done.
But they had a complete and utter team ready to go. They needed like 75% of the Peyton Manning from 2010, and that's what they got. And they were able to win.
I have this feeling that, like, if Tom Brady, if they both feel like, listen, here's the deal, guys. Brady wants to go win elsewhere and prove he can win without Belichick, and Belichick's just fine with that. I want to prove I can win without Brady. I think 2020 is going to be a disappointment for both teams.
More than likely, that would be where my money would go. My money would go there, too. But Brady, I can't see Brady going anyplace else. I mean, if he went to a ready-made team, but then those guys don't need to throw over their younger quarterbacks. Kansas City's not going to throw over Patrick Mahomes. Baltimore is not going to throw over Lamar Jackson. So we're talking about him going where?
Indy.
You think Indy's ready-made to win?
They got a great line.
Okay, I mean, that's one part of it.
T.Y.
Hilton plays half the games.
That's
like
true.
Some of the Patriots' best players. Tommy, I'm going to stay with you on your statement just now that both of them would be sorely disappointed if one had to play without the other.
Who is your team alive that you love right now to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, the Packers.
Really? The Packers?
Yeah. I've had the Packers all year.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm sorry. Don't they have home field this week against Seattle? I know Seattle's good on the road.
How do you feel about that as a diehard Bear fan are the team that's going to win it?
I've always felt guilty that I've always felt guilty that Aaron Rodgers is my favorite quarterback. That a Packer is my favorite quarterback. And he's like one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time. So I always felt bad about
that. How about this as a Bears fan, how your Sunday could actually go down? All right, let me lay this out for you
going.
As a Bears fan. Okay, so we're all gassed up. And remember, the games on Sunday this week aren't. It doesn't start at noon Central. It's like a 2 o'clock start. We're going to make you wait for it. And you're going to have to think for an extra 2 hours about how it's going to feel to watch Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes get together in Son of a Mitch Bowl Part 2. And when that game's done and you're feeling like crap and you want to punch something, you turn on your television and Aaron Rodgers is beating the Seattle Seahawks to advance to the next round of the playoffs. And you're sitting on your couch mad as hell, out of beer, not knowing what to do as a Bears fan.
I'm rooting for – you know what? I'm not going to root. I have nothing against Russell Wilson. I like Russell Wilson. I don't feel the need to root for the Packers. I can't ever really root for the Packers. But I just think they're going to win and get – I mean, the big test, obviously, it'd be better for them if they got the Vikings somehow to win out in San Francisco and they get a home game for the NFC title game against the Vikings. Wouldn't the Packers love that? So I don't have to root for him, but I just think that Aaron Rodgers, you know, if I'm going to take somebody over Russell Wilson at this point of the season, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers even more than San Francisco.
You spent a lot of time in D.C. Were you happy for Kirk Cousins?
When he got out of here, yeah, I'm happy for anybody who gets out of here with his sanity and can still compete. And they franchise him. They try to franchise him like 8 times. He made a lot of money off of them. And I think his record as a playoff quarterback, I think it's 1-2 now. But I'm happy for him to win a big game, and he's got to do it again. People say, oh, the criticism will end if he – no, it won't. One does not end anything. So he needs to –
They're
going to
you know what
winning.
People are going to call it. If he goes to San Francisco and it goes the way everyone thought it was going to go against the Saints,
right?
Everyone's going to say it was just a fluke. People will revert back to giving
of
him the business. And that's
of course
just,
they will.
I have no doubt about that. Whether that's fair or not, that's exactly what people are going to do. Listen, I have a theory, Michael, that the majority of the people that were pissed off about the catch at the end of the game that wasn't overturned because of offensive pass interference, which I didn't think it was because you had two guys battling. That's football.
Yeah.
I think the people that were loud and proud about wanting that call overturned are guys that hate Kirk Cousins. That's just my conspiracy theory that they were mad that the call wasn't overturned because they're all bought in on Kirk Cousins can't play, and that changed the narrative at least for the week. So all the people
changed it largely in that game to get them to that point even. And so I thought that people ought to get off Kirk Cousins just based on how he played even up to through regulation time last week.
And by the way, Adam Thielen got hurt in practice today with an ankle, and Stephon Diggs is out with an illness. So,
out of practice.
Yeah, out of practice for the
okay.
Yeah, so
they'll be there.
We'll see.
They'll answer the bell Sunday.
All right. So, are you finally ready to give us our due with the Bulls at 1-15 against teams with winning records?
Wasn't Michael the one that was
talking trash?
I wanted to know where that stretch was going to lead. Were they going to turn it around, or were they going to settle into some malaise? And they settled into a malaise.
Let me see if I can find Mike's text.
With these four losses. Is it four losses now or five?
Four in a row.
Four in a row. They're 1-15 against teams with a winning record. And most
the
of those
Clippers
teams
are the only team they beat with a winning record?
Yeah, and they were still without four guys. Like, when the Celtics beat them, they were still without Kemba. You know, and a lot of these teams have been playing them at, like, Porzingis didn't play
Porzingis
against the
didn't
Bulls.
Play last night or 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
I watched that game. Yeah, but, the Bulls don't have their, I don't know, third best player maybe. My God, how long is Otto Porter supposed to be out?
Maybe the rest of the year. Can I just read you? I just want to read you just for, what's in giggles.
This was the night of our holiday party.
This is Wednesday, December 18th at 9:01 p.m. And I hope that you don't get mad at me for sharing. I won't go past the first.
I'm drinking wine.
The first paragraph.
Shea Pepler's got the screen up on the Bulls game. I'm cutting into my steak. And here comes Wilbon with a text for us to talk some
yelling
smack
at us after we were given the Bills, the Bulls, rather, the business. This is the first paragraph of the text. Take that, Waddle and Sylvie. You can think we're dead if you want. Down 18 on the road in the fourth after blowing a 26-point lead the previous game. And then you just got on us for like four more paragraphs.
I remember that text.
Oh, that was fun.
I was riding high that night.
Yep. And then it kind of went south after that. I mean, and it's, listen, we're not taking... I mean, listen, I'm I'm depressed because I expect more than a team that's 11 games under 500 right
too.
Now.
I do too. And I, you know, it's interesting. I've started, you know, I start covering basketball again and talking to people and listening to people. And coaches and players have interesting take on the Bulls. They think they play hard. They don't play any kind of suitable defense, but they think they play hard. And all these coaches go into the game thinking the Bulls have fascinating pieces. You know, and they talk about, well, this guy can do this, and this guy can do that. And this, you know, certainly Wendell Carter being out now with his ankle. How long is he supposed to be out?
For probably, I mean, it's a high ankle, yeah. So.
Looked 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, at least, I would think.
I mean, that doesn't help. They were at a crossroads, and it worked out the way you guys thought, not the way I hoped. And I was absolutely hopeful that they kept everybody on the court, and they got, you know, they put a mirror down into Markkanen's nose to see if he was breathing. And he's had a couple of good games, a good game against Dallas the other night. But no, they look like they are. Like we're going to be counting lottery balls again, ping pong balls in the lottery. Looks like we're going to go that way again, and that's not what this team needed. This team needed to, you know, get to the eighth spot, get his feelings hurt in the playoffs, but sort of dip the toes in and see how that felt.
It was painful for me to watch the Mavs game, the Bulls and Mavericks, from this perspective.
Why? I don't think that was painful. There's some other games that are painful.
Well, no, not even from the Bulls' perspective, because what I want more than anything is a guy that can change the arc of this team.
Well, yeah.
And to watch Doncic do what he did, that's kind of like, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That was painful.
But I did thoroughly enjoy watching him do what he did, but it was painful because, like, we need one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Listen, he's the guy who, I mean, he's a massive, immediate game changer. Kornheiser and I were sitting on the set of PTI today. We're trying to figure out how many players have been better in the last 40 years in their second season than Doncic.
Not many.
And the answer is like Magic and Bird. Remember, Michael missed 67 games in his second year. So you can't even, not even Michael. Maybe Akeem. Akeem was great in his first year.
And were these older guys too? Because
they had played 3 years of college.
Right.
So Jordan had played 3 years. Magic had played two. And Bird had played five. So yeah, they were older guys. This guy's 20. He's 20, right? So right now, who's better? Who's better in the NBA than Doncic right now? And the answer is LeBron,
Giannis,
Kawhi, Giannis. So max three guys. He's in my top five. Right now, if I was going to fill out an all-league team, Doncic would be on it. And one of the things I thought, like, Tommy, I know exactly what you mean. Like, we're jealous. We are jealous that the balls didn't bounce the right way and we didn't get a chance to draft Doncic. I get that, and I agree with you. And then I was actually encouraged for that isolated time of whatever, 48 minutes the other night. Because I thought the Bulls played hard. I thought they played pretty smart. And they're just not as good. They're not as good. And he somehow outplayed LaVine and Markkanen on a night where both those guys, I mean, those guys were into it.
Yeah.
They produced. I mean, they together had like 50 points or close right on it. But he was just better. It's like, how many times do you get a chance to draft a guy who's just better than whoever comes into your gym that night? With, again, notable exceptions. LeBron, who's on my Mount Rushmore basketball. Giannis, who's the reigning MVP and likely to be two-time. And Kawhi Leonard, who just won a championship and has been a finals MVP twice. These are the only guys Doncic can't take. That's amazing.
Doncic is averaging 30 points, 9 assists, and 9.7 rebounds per game.
The number of people who have never done that in NBA history is only everybody.
Right.
I started saying, you know, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, that whenever he's on, I'm watching. And he's got the ball in his hand, and he has this wizardry in him. And, yeah, I mean, you know, last, you know, 2 years ago, if the Bulls had gotten to pick him, I mean, imagine him playing with, and it shows you about the fortunes and how fragile they are of NBA teams, and particularly NBA teams where one player changes the fortunes more than anybody. Imagine if Doncic is out there on the floor with LaVine, and I mean, you know, they would be in this position where they'd be looking at trying to finish, you know, fourth or fifth, and they'd be battling with Philadelphia and Boston on even terms, as opposed to having these scrappy little fights that usually wind up with them on the short end.
There'd be hope, there'd be excitement, and there's none of that right now with Bulls fans.
No,
there's apathy.
No. You got to have a great look. The NBA, the tough thing about the NBA is you have to have a transcendent player to have that kind of hope every single night that your team is going to win in every single postseason for a period of years. And, you know, I mean, the Bulls' window shut right down, slammed down on its fingers when Derrick Rose got hurt.
Yep.
Because the Bulls seem to have that player. And then so now you got to go start again and hope. How do you acquire that player? You get lucky in the lottery again? Weren't the Bulls supposed to finish eighth or ninth in that lottery?
And they at least, maybe even like 12. But, I mean, they're going to end up picking seventh. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have that happen. I mean, some teams never have it happen. I live someplace with the Wizards, Bullets. They had it happen once. They drafted Kwame Brown, and that was it. And now they're still waiting 20 years later.
Yeah, Michael, great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you guys. Be well.
There you go. Michael Wilbon, some good stuff. He's very against Brady. We'll see what Mark Jean Greco has to say.
Join Northwestern Basketball at Welsh Ryan Arena on Saturday as they host Nebraska in Big Ten play. Tip-off set for 3:30 p.m. Buy tickets now at nusports.com.
Well, how about this? Larry David calls general managers of football teams and gives them draft advice, and it's actually good advice. It's coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
Yesterday, Pujols is playing first base. Why is he allowed to play? He's terrible. What the hell's going on? So I'm saying these are a bunch of bums, like with these jobs, and then the young guys, you know, I don't know who the Angels have for first base, but the point being is, come on.
Afternoons from 2 to 6.
The best decision the Cardinals ever made was not signing Albert Pujols. Truly, they went back to the playoffs. They've had a great run of it. The Angels, nothing except a bum.
On ESPN Chicago.
Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm. It returns January 19th.
He was on with, I believe, Jeff Passan at
yes,
that point.
Yes, you heard Passan giggling in the background. I'll play this right now. Before Marky gets to the studio, Larry David was on the Michael Kay Show on our sister station, ESPN New York. He was doing like a premiere and Michael Kay was going to MC it. So he was in studio. He's a huge sports fan. And Larry David told the story. Well, first of all, earlier in the day, Mike Tannenbaum told the story how Larry David would call him with advice.
When he was the GM of the Jets.
Yeah. And he called him and he once wanted him to draft Reggie Bush. But and Tannenbaum actually had a good draft that year, whatever it was. So now Larry David goes into another news story. Take a listen.
How did you feel about Jones this year? Did you like him?
I did. And I wanted to see how it was going to play out. I mean, they knew more about drafting quarterbacks than I did. And just because he wasn't a popular selection.
They don't.
Yeah.
They really don't. I mean, when you think about the fact that Bill Polian wanted to make Lamar Jackson a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. It's
what does anybody know? They don't know anything.
Now, you're a big Jet fan. Now, have you had any Joe Douglas interaction? Have you called the Joe Douglas?
No, I haven't reached out to Joe.
You should. He's tremendous.
Yeah, but I did. I did call Mike Maccagnan before the 2018 draft, and I recommended that he draft Lamar Jackson. I have a witness.
Really?
Yes, I have a witness.
And what did he say to you when you said that?
He kind of gave me the most condescending.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So you actually told him that?
Yeah, I told him that. He kind of he laughed at me. But who can blame him? Nobody thought Jackson was going to be
except for the Ravens.
There you go. Good stuff with Larry David.
Yeah, that is funny.
And he's right about, like, does anyone truly know? Does anybody know? We were just playing, Mark, did you ever hear the Larry David sound from yesterday?
Yes.
When he was talking about how Bill Polian thought Lamar Jackson would be a wide receiver and how GMs don't know. You just broke the headset.
Yeah.
Do you not know how to put the headset on?
I flipped it over and broke it.
So it's great stuff on ESPN
Larry David
New York.
Was hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah. We get Garland here and they get Larry David. Garland's a Chicago sports fan. Larry David's a New York sports fan.
Well, that's wonderful.
Did something go bad on the sportscast?
I just barely got through the sportscast
really?
Just now.
Are you okay?
I was having a coughing fit.
Really?
So I'm drinking hot water in between sound bites.
Yeah. Everybody, a lot of people have it. Pat Boyle's got it. JD's got it.
Danny Zetterman's been sick for a week.
I saw Boyle couldn't do the Hawks pre and post.
He could not do it.
I'm not only am I disappointed, I'm shocked I didn't get a call.
You should be the backup.
You should be the backup guy.
With no disrespect meant to their other fine employees that work over there, why is Mr. Dangles not getting a call to fill in for Blackhawks pre and post?
Well, they got the gizmo guy.
You know Waddle would be up there saying, look, the Hawks' key to victory. Bufflin's got to stand in front of the net.
Let's go to Sylvie now.
It's really hard to skate backwards.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Wow.
I got a parenting question for you, too.
Do you want
me to bring this up?
Yes.
You know, we have experience in that.
You may need earmuffs for the kids, okay?
Are you going to swear at us?
Because it's dirty. Not because it's dirty.
Are you going to spoil anything?
It's not about Christmas or anything like that.
Well, but it could be. It's kind of tied into it.
It's mascot talk. Can I go there? Am I allowed to go there, or will people ridicule me?
I think you're a grown-ass man. You make this decision.
So I don't know how to answer the question. My son loves Benny the Bull.
Okay.
No one, he probably loves Benny the Bull more than he loves us.
Can I just say this? If you're in the car with,
I'll repeat it.
No, I'm not telling you to turn it off. Just make your kids do something in the back seat.
No, you don't want them to do that either.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're young. I mean, they can do that.
But I don't know how to answer. So he loves Benny the Bull so much, and he's getting into sports. Over the break, I got to take him to a Bulls game. Tony, do you know Tony Usher?
Sure.
Tony the Usher's talking. What a great guy.
Tony's fantastic.
Wonderful man.
Every year of the United Center and Chicago Stadium before that, and he looked at me. We had the ESPN seats, and he said, would you like to have your kids go on the court for the national anthem?
They can scream at Pax and Gar as well and tell them how much they can. No, never mind.
So my son got to stand next to Thaddeus Young and in front of Benny.
You mean sit next to him because he didn't play anymore?
No. This was during the national anthem. Okay. They're standing, the lights are down, and Benny's next to the team. My son's in front of Benny. And my son takes the national anthem very seriously.
Well, good for him.
Hand over his heart every time he's five. And he closes his eyes and looks
down. That's good parenting.
So then the other day, so he loves Benny, hugs Benny. Someone told him on the bus something at school. He's a kindergartner.
Yeah.
And he came to me the other morning, and he'll just ask random questions all the time. And he looked at me, and he goes, Daddy, he goes, is there a person inside of Benny?
Well, you know, there's a different person inside of all of us,
I didn't know how to answer that.
There's a different person inside of all of us.
See, that's a great answer. There.
But it won't satisfy the question.
Well, I...
Dad, what the hell does that mean?
Do you know what I did? Because I don't want to shield the truth from my kids. I changed the subject.
You farted and made him giggle and changed the subject.
I changed... Because I go, Mommy, what do you think? And then,
oh sure,
and she
dump
didn't
it
know
on
either.
Your wife.
She didn't know either, so we sort of changed the subject, and we did not answer.
But wait, he's five, so you know he's getting to the age where he's going to be asking a lot more serious questions. So you just go, son, didn't Benny stink? Yeah, there's a sweaty little gymnast inside there who can hit a golf ball like 300 yards.
I like your first answer better. There's
Benny
a person
stinks.
Inside of all of us.
That thing smells.
I think
smells.
Anyone inside that costume is going to smell after a while.
He's sat on my lap a few times. I've hugged him a few times.
Is this at the game
this
or back at
the
your
game.
Place?
This was at the game. But I told you, I played golf with him one day.
You did? The old one or years. The new one? So it's a new guy now.
Years ago.
No, I don't know. Please
played
tell
golf
me,
at
Dad.
Winnetka. We had a threesome and he...
What?
And he said, hey,
Winnetka,
can I jump in? To be the fourth. Golf, Tommy. Golf. And so at the end of the round, he goes, I'm Benny the Bull. I'm like, really?
How do you know it really was, though? He could have just been putting you on.
No, he was doing backflips. He was all jacked up and hitting the ball hard and just being acrobatic. Plus, he smelled.
We are
it was the same smell. I knew it was him. Look, you're going to have to tell him sooner
or
later.
Well, right, and I don't want to lie, but...
You just lied. By changing the subject,
I didn't know. I just deferred.
I mean, a lie now
is... It's not a heartbreaking, crushing thing. You say, it's a guy who he's so talented, he's so fun, he's the coolest guy in the world. He can really work the suit, just like Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
Why do we think that's the easiest path?
Really? I don't want to do that.
Why? He'll forget.
Just say, there is. And one day, you could be inside that suit.
It's something to shoot for.
Yeah. There you go. That's very good, Adam.
And I don't even have kids.
Yeah. That was a good trial balloon there.
I don't know how to answer it. I mean, I haven't been.
I stumped Waddle, and he.
I don't think it's hard. I think you say yes. It's not like there's some big story surrounding mascots where you're spoiling the.
I don't want to spoil it for him. He thinks that he's like this big furry bull.
Well,
I mean, does he not ask you? I know, but does he not ask you, Dad, why do I only see the big furry bull here and I don't see big furry animals elsewhere?
Is that at Starbucks or Whole Foods?
Yeah. You know, why do I only see that here at the ball game?
I told him he sleeps at the Advocate Center.
That's a lie because I know Betty the Bull doesn't sleep at the Advocate Center.
Why are you perpetuating this?
That's worse. That's worse.
You've made this hard on yourself.
Don't sit over there and say to us, I don't want to lie to my son. You just told him Benny the Bull sleeps at the Advocate Center. Liar!
Benny the Bull sleeps with the fishes. You know what you got to do now? You got to sit him down now and go, look.
We got to have a talk.
There's a guy in the suit.
We got to have that.
We're dumping that.
What's wrong with you, Robin?
Yeah, you just got to go, hey.
Did you really?
And you got to say, son.
Oh my God!
You don't want to know.
That could be Harry Tynowitz did it, or was it? Yeah. It was Harry.
It was Robin Robinson on Fox 32, got in a huge trouble.
You cannot say that on the radio. That's worse than saying a curse word.
Probably is.
Absolutely.
You know, I have to say, son. You know, in a few years, Valentine's Day is going to be an issue, so you're going to have to get ready for that.
You're talking about the talk.
Yeah, the talk. Like, you know. So many obligations.
You know what?
Are
you talking the birds and the bees? I'm talking about just
getting a gift. I'm not talking about jumping in the back seat of Dad's car.
I don't think you need to have that talk anymore. There's so many Netflix series available. I don't think you even need to have that talk.
That is so funny, though. Mark wasn't even talking about the birds and the bees. What he was talking about
sex.
How difficult it is to handle the Valentine's Day situation is...
Right. Just to handling women in general. That's the talk you got to have.
At when? 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. 7.
You know what? Your mom's always right. Your dad's an idiot.
It's called a prenup, kid.
Just take
it
from there.
Yeah. Are you swept up in Brady mania?
No.
You hate him anyway.
I don't hate him.
You dislike him.
See, I'm backing off my hatred because it's just kind of pathetic. The Patriots are in such disarray.
Really? Are they really?
No, they're not. I want them to be.
You're making yourself feel better.
Hey, Mr. Patriots always win at home. You got your butt kicked on wild card.
You guys haven't won a playoff game since when? 93?
Stop it.
And then you're ridiculing them for losing one?
Look, Brady's not going anywhere. You know, this is going to drag on past March. And then he's going to re-sign for a year.
What do you think? What if he was, though? This is what Waddle asked me this question yesterday. Let's say he does say, I want to stick it to Belichick, and I want to see what's out there. Do you think Ryan Pace would try to land him?
No.
You think he would be like, I'm too much money, and I'm into Mitch?
Wow. I'm into Mitch. Wow. I'm in the duck. Jeez. That sounded so weird.
But that's sort of true.
I'm into Mitch.
I saw his. You want to Google Ryan Pace.
It's a bumper sticker.
And find his Eastern Illinois football picture, and it looks like Mitch from North Carolina.
They look like twins. There it is.
They look like twins.
He had a really big neck then, didn't he?
I'll show you. I even saved it because I was going to tweet it out.
Oh, God. That's why. That's the crux of it right there.
Look at that.
He drafted himself. Oh, my God.
Let me see that. I see the picture.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Mitch. It's Mitch. He was a defensive end though at Eastern Illinois. Like to be an EIU.
Couldn't find a quarterback back then either.
No.
How many sacks did he have?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Come on. That was a good joke, wasn't it?
Yeah,
football
very
laughter.
Good.
I mean, guys are in here asking life questions about their kids, and I'm just trying to make football jokes. I want to get his, because that would be a great joke to use. How many career sacks did Ryan have back at Eastern Illinois? And you could use that if you ever
decent player like in the Gateway Conference. Google his stats.
It doesn't play well for my joke, though.
Right.
Like, you don't want him to be good. One or two career sacks, you can use it. You couldn't find a quarterback back then as well.
Hey, Pompo.
That's very, very good.
Thank you.
He's not going to touch that.
Do you think, and I asked this to Waddle yesterday, so you got one question that he asked me.
I think the Bears are so arrogant that they don't want a stopgap publicity measure like Brady would be. And Brady's not going to teach Mitch anything.
No, he wouldn't want to. He just would want to win.
Yeah, but I just don't see him here at all. No chance. Zero.
One of our listeners, Eric, I think it was, tweeted us and he said, all these years of having the father-son relationship with Bob Kraft, can you imagine him sitting across the table from Ted Phillips, football president?
Oh, my God. Father-son relationship with Bob Kraft. That sounds creepy, too. Just like, I'm into Mitch. I'm into going to lunch with Bob Kraft.
Doesn't Kraft consider him like family?
Yeah,
didn't he just say the other day?
He does. But you know what? There's a lot of momentum, and there's a lot of talk about Brady going to the Chargers to succeed Phillip Rivers. And all I can think of is Johnny Unitas as a Charger. And I wouldn't even wish that on Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, and Wilbon brought up Bobby Orr here. Like, there's a Willie Mays with the Mets. I mean, there's a million of these that went wrong, but aren't they worth a try when you don't have the guy?
No, Tony Dorsett as a Bronco. Franco Harris as a Seahawk.
Emmitt Smith as a Cardinal.
Jerry Rice as a Seahawk.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't find find his college stats. I'm working really hard.
They don't exist.
Oh, yeah. You have to just, did you Google Ryan Pace, EIU?
New stats. Yeah, I can't find it.
What if we find out he didn't really play?
No, he did. Oh. He did.
Oh, that was Orlando Pace. My mistake.
Yeah. By the way, Mark Jean Greco is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, located at LaSalle and the River. They'll roll out the red carpet for celebrities, and they will treat you like a celebrity. That's what makes it great. They're going to pamper you. You're going to get a great glass of wine. You're going to have outstanding appetizers.
Oh, yeah. I'm in.
The best steak in the city.
Yes.
And
you can get a manicure and a pedicure while you're waiting
for
your appetizers.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
David Flom was making some comments on the pod while he was listening to the podcast this morning. Big Waddle and Sylvie guy, David Flom, Manny Moore, they're going to do it upright for you.
Did he like what he heard, or was he being critical?
He was weighing in on the Jordan. We were talking about the Jordan house yesterday.
Okay, yes.
He still won't sell it. And we were saying,
I find that to be one of the weirdest like Chicago stories of all.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, why he won't just sell it for a loss and move on.
He's a billionaire.
Yes.
He gets how much a year from Nike, and yet he won't sell
it. Even if he sold it for a dollar and took a $7 million
loss. That's what he needs
to
do, because he can't sell it. He'll never be able to sell it without taking a monster loss. Plus, whoever buys it's going to level it. He had all kinds of problems. The house was so big, and he had that full a basketball court in the basement, and the foundation listed.
I did.
And it was all this concrete caved in, and the house is sitting on its side. They had all kinds of structural issues with it as well. Plus, who builds a mansion like that?
Next to the railroad tracks?
And behind like some sand company.
No, it was Ace Hardware, and it's right like next to just west of the railroad tracks and the high tension line.
Yeah, but behind that, there were mounds of sand. It was like some excavating company or something.
Like, you would have thought, like, Jordan would have gone to Glencoe and built a house on the lake.
On the lake.
Like, you know, with big windows overlooking the lake. He's got a little beachfront, too.
Then put up a big fence and violate every ordinance.
Right, that's in Evanston with you.
Yeah, you know, I have no idea. It's really bizarre. But is it
just don't know why he doesn't sell it, take the loss, and move on.
I mean, I haven't driven up there forever, but
it's the house.
The house is a
half mile from where I live.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's in a, like, I think there are more houses now in that area.
Because it used to be the only one. Remember?
Right. There's four or five houses.
It had the 23 gate there.
Right.
And it was the only house, but they had driveways and streets with utilities, with homes yet to be built.
No, there are homes there. And recently they just built a new one right on the corner of where you turn in to get there.
You know, I don't get up north much anymore.
Well, you do.
Only to your house.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you better show up this time as well.
You were talking about the Super Bowl party earlier. Are you in?
I'm in. Of course I'm in.
You didn't miss one year because you were sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're sick again.
Don't be sick this year.
I'm going to Mexico to buy weird prescription drugs.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
I bet you are.
When are you going to Mexico?
Saturday.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You could use a nice relaxing vacation.
I could. And, you know, right before the sportscast, we did a story about if you're sick, stay home. And I'm hacking and coughing through Cheryl Scott's weathercast.
Get on a plane and go to Cabo.
Yeah.
There was a woman who posted on Facebook that her son was throwing up that day. And the next day, that son was in preschool. You think that's a huge violation?
Yeah, you
they're
can't
still,
do that.
They're still contagious.
Yeah.
You're not contagious once you...
And you know what? So is Benny the Bull. So you just need to keep
like
him away from all the preschoolers.
Sounds like somebody that wanted to make sure that getting that child back into preschool to give themselves a break.
No, can't do that.
So far, boys, all I could find was the press release about Ryan Pace being named the Bears GM.
He led the team in tackles for a loss.
Well, he had 96 tackles with 11 tackles for a loss in his final two seasons. He played from 96 through 99.
Can't find any stat totals.
Their football stats are hard to find.
And I'm just using it for, you know, a silly joke.
So he did. Was he would have been in Brady. Wasn't Brady drafted in 99? What year was Tom Brady? The 1999 draft?
I think so, yeah.
Were they in they would have been in the same draft class.
He was not drafted, though.
No, I know.
He was not invited.
Led the team in tackles for a loss several years before, two years in a row.
Brady was the 2000 draft.
Oh, 2000, so a year later. Yurko's on the all-Gateway team for the, half-century.
Of course he is. It has to be.
For the years that it's been there. Cody in South Bend. Say hi to Mark Gene Greco. What's up, Cody?
Hi, guys. I have two questions for you guys. How would you guys feel if Tom Brady went to the Cowboys, because Jerry Jones is like the complete opposite of Kraft. Like, he will do anything for a championship. And my second question is, I think we're sleeping on a QB in the draft. Deshaun Watson was talking highly about him. Kelly Bryant, he went to Missouri, but the coach really did a bad job and he tweaked his knee, so he missed like four games. But Kelly Bryant and Jalen Hurts. And I would love to hear your response about that.
I definitely want them to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not a close enough follower of the quarterback position or play.
I like Herbert from Oregon,
the collegiate level.
But he's a top 10 pick, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen projections where Burrow goes first, Tua goes next, and then Herbert goes the pick right after.
Right.
Okay.
After Tua. All top 10.
I've heard the Dallas thing mentioned. I wouldn't get that because we're talking about the salary cap here. How would you keep Dak and get Brady? And why would you get rid of Dak?
Dak
isn't like Mitch. Dak had a good year this year.
I believe he was maybe second in terms of passing yards. I think Winston was number one, but Dak was there.
Man, with 5,000 interceptions as well.
Right, right.
But, you know, with the Cowboys situation.
Dak Prescott threw for 4,902 yards this year, just behind Jameis Winston.
So why would he want
I don't think they.
I don't know where that came from. I think Mike McCarthy is going to have a tough enough time with what he has. What he has is a lot of undisciplined talent and an egomaniacal owner who's going to be breathing down his neck. So I don't see them, you know, doing a weird thing like that to shake things up even more. I mean, I don't either.
I don't think he's going there. I may be shocked, but where he ends up, I think he's going back to New England.
Yes.
But who knows?
To me,
that's
the only place he can go.
I think Dallas will re-sign Dak Prescott, and Mike McCarthy will continue to try to develop him. I don't think Dak's going anywhere.
No. Look, Tom Brady is still the greatest quarterback of all time until he retires, and he had nothing around him this year. This was the worst Patriots offense you've ever seen.
It won't get any worse ever.
That's rock bottom.
Offense will not be worse next year than they were this year.
Even though Tom Brady still has a lot of Tom Brady left, I don't see any team desperate enough to make a marketing PR move like that.
You just mentioned the Chargers. Why? Chargers are sharing a stadium with the Rams. It's a brand new stadium. They could barely draw in a soccer stadium. And here
That's a 1 year stopgap measure.
Okay, but you need to sell some tickets. He's doing the LeBron game plan where he's going to the West Coast. If you are going to move your family out of Boston, you want to establish your brand, why not go to LA?
Forget about a brand. They're a road team forever until they go back to San Diego. That was the worst move in the world. They are the visitors in their own stadium, even when they get that thing finished. So they need to plan for the future and have something in place long term. Tom Brady's not going to do anything. That's going to be, hey, let's go to the game, and then, okay, we're done.
You don't think there's going to be a team that overspends or spends a lot on Tom Brady?
No, I don't. I see him back with New England for 1 year with a boatload of money, and, you know, he'll get his respect and everything else, and then he'll retire on his terms.
The funny part is, for the people who say Tom Brady is done, even in this worst year that you guys were just talking about with the Patriots,
threw for 44,000 yards.
Almost 4,100 yards, and that would be the best total in Bears history. In 100 years of Bears football.
I was going to say, besides the Bears, most teams have to have a 4,000-yard quarterback now.
Right.
In this league.
Now, there were only three guys who threw it more. Winston, Goff, and Ryan were the only guys that threw more passes than Tom Brady. He threw 613 passes, an average of 6.6 yards per attempt.
And his completion percent was way down.
Yes.
Like 61%, I think.
Yes. So, look, I still think he has something left. I think he does.
Oh, yeah.
I think he stays in New England, but we'll find out. Plus, I've said this, and again, I may be wrong here. I think Ryan Pace wants to see this through with Mitch Trubisky, and the thought that Matt Nagy is going to make any type of significant change with regard to how the offense is run, I don't see that happening either.
I agree. They are both determined to make this work.
Yes,
it's an ego thing, and it's an ego thing, really. It's just like, damn it, we're not wrong. We are not going to be wrong.
Listen,
on
2018,
this.
I was the NFL Coach of the Year, and Ryan was the NFL Executive of the Year in some polls. This year, we took a huge step back, and we were still 8-8. Now, I felt the season felt a little worse than 8-8, but they're going to rely on 8-8, and everything went as bad as it could be. We're going to get this thing fixed, and that's just the way it is.
We're going to show up the media and the critics and the fans and everything else, and we still believe in our game plan. Yeah, you got Mitch for another year, and this is the year. This is the evaluation year. And if it's just like this past year or the year before, then they have to admit it. They have to admit that they're wrong. But right now, they are full speed ahead.
You would think they would have to admit it.
You have to.
I know. That's why I said to Sylvia.
There was always that thing on Cutler. Then we would say, but he got hurt.
You know what they do?
But this.
They get through the Get Smart doors, like 15 doors, and they're locked away. And then they go, God, we screwed that
up. Isn't there part of you, though, that wants, for good or for bad, either get it right.
Yes. I want a direction.
Or, you know what? Let it go and just watch it all go in the other direction so change would be more. Would be more likely. But Mitch is your quarterback for all 16 games. Matt is calling every single play. And at the end of the 2020 season, either we've seen significant progress that we feel good about, or there are no more excuses.
That's it. Bingo.
I mean, there's part of me that's what I want as a Bears fan long term. That's what I want to see. Because you need, right now, they're not willing to make any hard decisions. At the end of next year, they're going to have to make some hard decisions.
And a new coaching staff isn't going to make any difference, right?
I don't think at this point. I mean, listen, I still believe that Matt Nagy has, you know, I think I'm interested to see how he handles the adversity that he created this year. I'm excited to see what he's learned from his own mistakes and how he'll improve on those. I still think there's something in there to be excited about.
By the way, Jay Cutler will join us tomorrow at 3.
Look out.
It's the debut, don't forget, of the third season of Very Cavalier.
Wow.
He's the star of that show. It debuts tomorrow. We'll get him right before that show. And then we'll talk about Kyle Long. Yes. We'll talk about the Bears situation and NFL playoffs. And just about, like, being a farmer. Yeah. We love
I never thought I'd say this, but he fits that venue perfectly, that platform perfectly, because it's a reality show about somebody who doesn't give a crap about anything.
Right.
And it's just, I'm not shaving, I'm not taking
him.
A shower, and I don't care about anything.
Go get some soup, okay?
Yeah. I need it badly.
Yeah. Thanks to Mark Jean Greco, brought to you by Chicago
Cubs.
We're all going to get it. Jeff Van Gundy, thank you. Jonathan Hood, live and local at 8:30. We've got Notre Dame basketball next.
I'm looking for Lysol, and I get foot powder. Whose foot powder is it?
That's the Miller and Abdallah from Markey and Waddle. I'm Sylvia. It's ESPN 1000. Spoil it for him. He thinks that he's like this big furry bull.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No, hi from you. What?
No high from you?
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.